Already on the phone right now is author Charles Soule. His great new book, his debut novel, The Oracle Year, comes out on Tuesday, April 3rd from Harper. And early reviews for the book, Publishers Weekly, wildly entertaining booklet. Soule's background in comics shows in this dark, rollicking tale. Brad Meltzer, the New York Times bestselling author. Here's my prediction. This book will seep into your soul. The Oracle Years is about knowing the future. And a little bit about Charles is he's the writer of a lot of Marvel franchises, X-Men, Daredevil, Star Wars, Darth Vader, his own series, Curse Words in Letter 44. And Charles, I don't even know if I should be talking to you because you successfully killed off Wolverine. How are you, Charles?
I'm good. And yeah, I killed Wolverine back in 2014, but I'm also the guy who's going to bring him back to life later this year in the Hunt for Wolverine story. So hopefully that earns me a conversation this morning.
Are your books the ones that they use to base the movies on?
You know, it depends. There are a lot of storylines are drawn from, at least in part, you know, they're inspired by storylines in the comics. You know, the Avengers Infinity War has a lot of great stories or great ideas that come out of Jonathan Hickman, the story that he wrote for, which was called Infinity. Black Panther had a lot from, you know, a bunch of different runs, a Christopher Priest run, Ta-Nehisi Coates run. You know, they take a lot of ideas from the comics, for sure. As far as mine, I've had storylines in the Inhumans, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Inhumans show. The Logan movie took some ideas from some of my Wolverine stuff, Dr. Wolverine in particular, and different things, video games, cartoons. So it's always kind of an ecosystem. The comic stories tend to feed the ancillary media stuff, but it's not like a sure thing. You know, it just sort of happens when it happens.
So you write for Marvel and the other ones. You obviously get paid to do the comics, and then if they do use your story, I'm just curious, do you get another fee for that, or do they own the rights to the comic because you write their characters for them?
It's all work for hire. You know, you get paid a fee to write the comic, you get royalties based on the comic. As far as uses in other media, it depends. It depends on sort of the character, how they're used, how much they're used, and different things. But there have been a lot of discussions in recent years, I'd say the last 5 to 10 years, about making sure that creators who add really valuable intellectual property to a corporation should be taken care of to some degree when they make something that really helps a lot. It's not always, I would say it's still probably better to have something that you created and wholly own go and become a TV show or a movie or something like that. If you do that, it's financially better for you than when you do something work for hire. But at the same time, you know, when you do a work for hire story, nobody's like trying to trick you or anything like that. Like, it's very upfront that this is work for hire work, and you get paid well for it, and you get an enormous profile and PR boost from it, and all these other things that make it worthwhile. And I don't think, you know, I don't think it's like it was back in, you know, the 40s, maybe, when people were creating things and getting absolutely no, like not being paid that well and not getting any back end credit or compensation. It's not like that today, but, you know, it's just part of the evolving nature of the business, as always.
And speaking of rights, your book, The Oracle Year, again, comes out on April 3rd from Harper. And the TV, it's already been sold. ITV Studios has already bought the rights to it, and they're making it into a TV adaption for a series, a movie. Do you know yet what they want to do with it?
TV series. TV series. So that was just an amazing thing that it happened before the book's out, like well before the book came out. Or, I mean, I guess as we speak now, the book is still not out. It feels really close, though. It's Wednesday as we're talking, and then it's out this coming Tuesday, which is just amazing to me. But the the TV thing is huge, and I hope that it is good. I have some input into it, and I hope that, you know, I'll use that input to hopefully make it feel cool if I can. But the people who have it are awesome, and I think they're going to do a fantastic job. And, you know, we'll see. TV stuff is always complex, and just because it's being developed doesn't mean it'll ever make it to the airwaves, I guess, if I can still say that.
Yeah.
The cables, the streaming networks, but, you know, fingers crossed, and we'll do everything we can.
Many times rights are bought, checks are cut, and then they don't get used, and then you get the rights back, and then, hey, you could probably sell it again if somebody else is interested.
Sure, whatever works, you know, whatever works.
Do you have any idea how they found out about the book?
I have a sort of a team of people, manager, agent, various people whose job it is to take projects that I do and see if there's some interest on that side. So it was taken out. There's like a process. So it wasn't like a secret. You know, it was brought out to the various producers and studios that might want it, and several did.
Well, let's talk about the Oracle year. It tells the story of Will Dando, your ordinary struggling New Yorker, no money. He's got an iffy music career, and hopefully someday he'll be successful in the music. And you were in music too, so that's kind of something you and the lead character have in common. And then he wakes up from a dream one morning, and we all have dreams, but his dreams was a little different. He's given 108 specific predictions of future events, everything from crop futures to medical diagnosis to sports scores, and he doesn't really know what to do with it, so he goes into a bar, hits on a girl, tells her what's going to happen in a football game. She doesn't believe him, and lo and behold, the football game is what he said, and then... him and his friend Hamza decide, hey, let's try and make some money out of this. So they create this mysterious website that nobody can find. It's been so well hidden in this day and age of being able to hack and find stuff. And then in no time, the government's after him. Other people are after him. And it's an adventure, actually, to save his life now with all these predictions.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great summary. That's what the book is about. It's really a story about the future, about how I think, you know, you, me, everybody has that one question we would ask if somebody could tell us our future, and it would be true, and it would be the real deal, and it would come true. And, you know, for me, I certainly have my question now. I had my question when I was starting to write the book some years ago, and I think we all have one, and so I wanted to write a story not just about how the world would react to maybe being able to get an answer to that question, but also how the guy who has the answers would feel about it, and how how his life would be affected, and how it would all just get, you know, very, very complicated for him and the world very quickly. So it's a lot of fun. It's super unpredictable, which is kind of ironic considering what it's about, but it's very twisty-turny. It's one of those books that you pick up, and hopefully you can't put it down. You just have to see what's going to happen next.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I couldn't put it down. I had to see what happens next. So that was a very good description of the book. And the thing is Will and his friend Hamza, they at first he's like becoming a cult icon, the Oracle. And they make a lot of money at first. They sell some information to businesses. They make a lot of money, enough to retire and just go away and take the Oracle down and live life. But they just get too greedy.
You know, it's interesting. I think that's true for Hamza, right? But I think Will. I wanted to present two points of view on this, and I don't want to spoil too much, but Will is the guy who got the information. He had that dream with all this personal info or the future information that he's the only person who knows, and Hamza is his best friend and is the guy who's helping him out, and he sees this as like, man, look, you know, if you saw a $20 bill on the sidewalk and you picked it up, do you have like any responsibilities to do anything with that 20 bucks? No, you just got lucky. You just got 20 bucks you weren't expecting. Whereas Will is like, I don't know, man. Like, I know things about the future, and why did this information come to me? Maybe I should do something with it. And so he's the guy who has the crisis of conscience and starts thinking that there has to be something more to this. And he kind of tries to find it, tries to figure out why he got this information. And whereas Hamza, yeah, he's just like, look, let's milk this as much as we can. Let's make billions and billions of dollars, and then we'll disappear, and we'll be untouchable because we'll have so much money, and that'll be it. But Will sees it a little differently, and that conflict is one of the things that we see explored in the book.
Yeah, and then when like I said before, the government, nobody can find this website. They've gotten the best people, these girls, to do the website. So the government calls in their secret weapon, the coach. And I don't want to say too much more, but she's badass, and she come hell or high water, she's going to find Will, and she's going to figure this out. If it kills her, I'm not saying it does or it doesn't, but she's always come through on a job, and this isn't going to be the one she's not going to come through on.
Yeah, she's a character that people seem to have really responded to, which makes me really happy. I think she's super cool. And the coach is one of these characters. You see them every once in a while in fiction. You know, the person who you call when all else has failed, when nobody else can get this thing done, you call this person and they get it done. And that's the coach. But the coach is like, she's like a grandmother. She's like an old lady in her 70s, and she's just had this life where you can tell, like, from probably World War II on, she has been, you know, just part of world affairs. I mean, not World War II. I guess if she's 70s, that'd be too far. Let's say, I don't know, the Korean War on. She's been part of helping the United States in particular, and really the world, just kind of move in different directions. And she's been kind of one of these behind the scenes operators. And so she sees the Oracle as almost her opportunity to make her masterpiece and to find this guy, to find what his deal is, to find what he's planning, despite all of his incredible efforts to stay hidden. And it's really the lengths that she goes to find him, and the things that happen to sort of uncover him are pretty cool. And the coach she takes no prisoners. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And then you're also hitting the road. People can go to charlessoul.com. You're going to start in April 3rd. You're going to be in New York. You're going to Chicago Comic Con, mm-hmm. St. Louis, Poison Pen in Phoenix in May. Phoenix Comic Con, Book Expo. So you're doing a bunch of dates over the next few months. They're not all together, but people can follow you at Charles Soule with an E on Twitter and charlessoule.com. And hey, do you think the coach might get her own book?
Listen, I would love to write that book. I know exactly what it would be if I did it. You know, we'll have to see if the Oracle year hits hard. I'm very hopeful that it will. As you mentioned at the beginning, the advanced reviews have been phenomenal. People seem very excited about it. It was an Indie Next pick, which means it'll be in, you know, every indie bookstore in the country should have it, hopefully, and be pushing it. So, you know, we'll see. I'm very hopeful. I think it's a great read. I think it's really fun, especially with the summer and the spring coming up. I think it's exactly the kind of thing people would be interested in checking out these days, and I hope they do.
So just to be a little nosy here, and you can say yes or no, obviously, do you have a deal for more books? I mean, not necessarily the Oracle, but do you have a deal for another book on something that you're working on?
Oh, I'm working on another novel right now. It's not an Oracle Year sequel, but it's cool, and it's kind of, you know, what I'd like my brand to be, I guess, as a writer, if you want to say that, is the idea that one little thing changes in the world, and then you get an enormous effect that ripples all across everything, and that's certainly what happens in the Oracle Year with a guy popping up who can know the future a little bit. And then the new book has a different premise, a different idea behind it, but it's still in that same kind of zone. So, you know, I don't know when we'll see that or how that's going to work, but I'm working on it. And, you know, again, a lot of it is, you know, we'll see how Oracle Year does and if there's an audience for books like this for me, but I'm very hopeful at this point.
And you still have more comics coming as well?
Oh, tons. Yeah, that's not going anywhere. I'm currently writing 5 ongoing series for Marvel, plus Curse Words, which is an Image comic series that I own with my partner Ryan Brown on that book. He's the artist, I'm the writer. And then, you know, tons of stuff for Marvel and Star Wars and all kinds of things. So, you know, even if nobody buys the Oracle Year, you will still be able to get lots and lots of stories from me. But it would be cool if people did pick up that book.
And do you pretty much have carte blanche with the comic books, or do you have to give them a rundown of what it is you want to do?
It's not carte blanche. It's more like you know, I've been working for Marvel very steadily for about 5 years now. And I've written enough stories for them that there's a sense of trust that, like, oh, you know, that idea sounds kind of weird, Charles, but I trust you. Like, you tend to be able to pull things off. And it's not complete, like, do whatever you want. Nobody looks at it, but it is certainly a, you know, we're going to let you play it out and see how it goes in a way that it wouldn't have been when I had first started, but it is now, which is kind of a nice place to be. You work hard and you do good work and people give you a little more room, which is just like that in every business, I think.
Well, Charles, it's been a pleasure talking to you. The Oracle Year again comes out on Tuesday, April 3rd. It's a great read, and I love the book design. It's a little different from normal books, just the way that they put the book together. I don't know how to describe it. It just looks different from the way most novels are put out. And it's really cool.
Well, it's supposed to. We wanted it to pop off the shelves, and I think it really does. I think, you know, you're going to see it from across the room, which is something that is the goal with every book. You can't mistake it for anything else. So if you see a really cool book with kind of a black and white spiral pattern on it and a big eye and some red, that's the Oracle Year, and check it out.
Yep. Well, again, thanks for the time. Good luck with the book, and hopefully we'll talk to you for your next book.
Thanks so much. Take care. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.